Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Yeah, it's been really nice. I would say like I officially left on Thursday, but it took me maybe until like yesterday to feel like I was on vacation. Okay, I was a little tense. I was a little like still checking my work email. There were a couple of things that I left loosely tied up that just needed to be put, you know, bows on up to Sunday evening. And then we left Seattle and got to where we are now in the San Juan Islands and did some whale watching yesterday, and when I saw my first orca whale, I was like, in vacation mindset, go.
No, that's awesome. The trip, oh my God, I did not even want to go on the team trip, because I, like, same thing. There was so much work, and literally I was working all night, woke up in the morning, I was working up until, like, the Uber came. And then finally, I was like, I did, like, the core of, like, what I had to have to do. There were still things, like, you know, little things outstanding. Yeah. But I was like, honestly, I just want to stay and finish it. But I ended up having the best time. And with 10 women, when I say out of a 10, it was a 20 with how much we got along. I mean, it definitely helped that we booked a house. The house that we booked was originally when we thought we were going to have 14 people. So it was 11 bedrooms. And 11 people came. So basically everyone had their own bedroom, so I'm sure that helped a lot.
Yeah.
But it was such a good time, honestly. Everyone is so dope and dynamic. It just was a really, really good time. But like, we could do like, I know you want to make this like the Q&A episode.
No, I mean, this is, catch me up. I want to know about your vacay. I'm recording. The people are hearing this.
Hey people, it was everything that like we needed, because we like, well, first of all, none of us had, not none, but most of us had not met before. So it was very much like a reunion of like, hey, the person I video chat and have phone calls with and Slack with. So there was 11 of us plus Jabril, my business partner. So he was the only guy. Then there was, we had a private chef and he was a guy too. So the house was beautiful. Our plans were the first night just to kind of hang out, eat, and then watch Napoli Ever After. Have you seen that movie?
I watched that. I watched about half of it a couple nights ago.
Yeah. You know what?
But,
that's a good movie for... Go ahead.
No. I think you're getting to the point. No, go ahead. Yeah. Do your synopsis.
I definitely was like, what in the hell? But you know what? For a group of women, like, having a slumber party, it was a great slumber party group of women. Like, if I was watching by myself, I would have turned it off long ago.
I wish I had 10 black girlfriends with me when I was watching it too. Because my husband was like, what is
this? Let me tell you, Jabril fell asleep. He was literally snoring. We were like, kick him. He was snoring after like 20 minutes. So that was the first day. So that was fun. And plus the chef, his food was amazing. Shout out to Chef M. Todd. And the second day, we just went to Universal Studios, which was a ton of fun, especially without kids, because it's so funny how adults all get tired at the same time. Because you should have seen, when we were walking toward Ride 5, you said, everybody was like, girl, I'm over it. Like, you know, where maybe Supergirl would have been like, 5 more rides. I looked at everybody's face. I was like, you want to go? They were like, yes, child. So, but Universal was like a ton of fun. And then that night, we went to a comedy show. And then the next day, we did a spa, like, Farrah, who is my executive admin, she and Tamara, who actually used to live, Tamara is the manager of the academy, she used to live in Florida, so she helped her find a really great spa. It was beautiful, like a jacuzzi steam room, and we basically took it over. So everyone got a massage, and you got to pick whether you wanted a pedicure or a manicure. And then we did team building activities. You know what we did? And Yadali, shout out to you, Mama. She was like, tell Mandy we finally did the disc test.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Mandy, it was everything. Can you guess what I am?
IS.
What the hell? Yes.
I bet your mama couldn't guess what you are, but I know.
Yes, when we took it, Mandy, it was so helpful. And yeah, it was so cute because Yadalise was like, tell Mandy, because she listens like religiously to the podcast. Tell Mandy, we finally did the disc test, because she does it like at her job. I think Yadalise, I don't know if she does HR, but she like does stuff like this for where her full-time job where she works. And it was so helpful, Mandy. Oh my goodness. Because I got to see, there's some people that you know for sure. You're like, you're totally a D. So for those who don't know, can you explain what a DISC test is again?
Yeah. So a DISC test stands for, it's D-I-S-C. And it's one of these personality tests, but DISC is a little bit different because and the way that I've been taught about it is that it shows you what your work personality is, how you interact in the workplace. And I forget what all the letters stand for all the time, but I think, so if you're high D, it means you have a more dominating personality. If you're high I, you're more social. You like to interact with people. An S is it's sort of your level of wanting to help others and be in service of others. And a C, I think, is caution. So this is people who think carefully before they make a decision. And it's really, so I did this at my company, and it's really cool because you get to sort of understand not just how you operate, but why that person over there is always chatty in the morning and how annoying they are, and helps you see.
Because it was so crazy, because I see now, I was like, ooh. Because, like, for example, the people on the team, we're really social and chatty. And I see now, like, ooh, she's a D. So all of this, like, pre-chatting that I've been doing, I know she's probably like, Tiffany, shut up. Let's get to the thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so now I know. But it was so helpful because it's like, Yadalise did such a great, she's the youngest of all the Unicorn Squad members of the team. And she did such a great job really explaining, you know, like the different kind of like attributes. And she gave us like a cheat sheet where it's like, I can understand like Jabril, who's my business partner, is a classic D. You know, get down to the money, get down to brass tacks, let's go. You know, and it's like, okay, so now understanding like what I love is that we got to see like what stresses out a D or an I or C or S, what's helpful to them. How do they view success? It was just so helpful. And then one of my friends who was once an academy expert, she came just to hang out because she lives in Florida, and she really just gave us some really great outside feedback of what she sees for as the business. Like, you know, what are some of our things that we do really well? What are some of our areas of opportunities? Because she herself is a really amazing businesswoman. Her name is Dantisia, and she teaches folks who have ideas and how to transform them into like actual inventions that you could like sell at like Walmart or Target or whatever. So her feedback was amazing. And we were like, so many things that we didn't see that we were like, I didn't, from the outside, seeing it from another businesswoman's eyes was just amazing. And then that night, we took them out to, not a fancy mansion. Have you ever heard of Maggiano? No.
Maggiano's. Yeah. I went there for prom dinner, like my senior prom.
Yes. And it was like family style, right?
Yeah, delicious. I remember.
Yes. It was so good because we were going to go on site. So we stayed at this place called Encore, which I had never really seen this before, but it's like, it's a resort, but you look like you're in a neighborhood because instead of like an apartment, like instead of like, you know, like a, I guess a hotel room, it's like, these are homes that you can rent. And so all of the homes are like rented out to like, you know, vacationers. And so we stayed at one called Encore, and it was really nice, except for like we were going to eat at their fancy schmancy restaurant on our last night. But once they saw what we looked like, they were like, yeah, there's no space. We're like, really? Cause we just made the reservation.
Wait, what?
Oh, well, we'll have to put you outside at 9 o'clock at night. So we were like, yeah, actually, we're good. So they'll be getting all the Yelp reviews. Because one thing I am, when it comes to people treating me poorly in service, is I am social media petty. I will write you up on every platform out there. Like, yeah, so if you're black, might want to watch out.
I don't get it. You guys had a reservation and they didn't give you a table?
Well, yeah, they were just like, because the team was like, oh, they wanted to go for a walk. They said, well, let's walk by the restaurant and see how it looks. We walked by and they She's like, everyone stopped and was looking like, wait, who are these group of like black women and brown women? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just went like, oh, we just wanted to see the restaurant because we made a reservation. And they were like, oh, we're really we're booked. And she's like, really? Because we booked online and it's not booked. And secondly, we've already booked a reservation. Oh, well, we're not really going to have space, but we could definitely put you outside. I mean, outside in Florida at 9, so we could be eaten up by mosquitoes. Yeah. So we ended up thankfully finding, you know, the Maggiano?
Maggiano, yeah.
Yeah, we ended up finding that restaurant, and it's like an Italian family style. So they were just as loud, which is awesome. So we had a really good time there. Honestly, Mandy, it was like, I never realized how important like team building and things were. Like, we were already good, but it just put everyone in the state of like just greater understanding of like what our roles are, what we're working toward. Everyone came back so refreshed. And so the team... So Jabril, it was his idea, and we paid for everything by setting aside 2% of our gross income from the beginning. I think we started saving in January, February, and then when we got enough money saved, we paid for flight. When we got more, we paid for the house. When we got more, and so slowly but surely, we paid for it that way, and it just made it easier than paying some lump sum and figuring out where does the money come from. So, yeah, I encourage anyone who has a digital team to plan something like that. And even if you can't do it in the first year, you might save for 2 years to be able to do something. And I'm telling you, Groupon is your friend, because that's what we use a lot. Like, it doesn't have to cost it. It can cost as much or as little as you want it to cost, but it was an awesome time.
I actually used a Groupon we did a whale watching tour yesterday, and I haven't planned. We planned like nothing for this trip. So we got to the ferry to come to the island, and then I pulled up Groupon to see like what whale watching tours were available. And then a lot of these tours, like if you're trying to plan last minute on Groupon, they tell you can't use it for 72 hours. And I was like, oh crap. But I called I tried to find the one that was most highly rated. And I called them and I told them I wanted the Groupon deal. And they were like, okay, well, we'll honor the price over the phone because of, you know, the 72 hour rule, which I thought was really nice of them. So we ended up saving like $100 on our,
wow, that's awesome,
on our whale tour. And we saw so many whales. It was awesome.
There's nothing worse than going on a whale tour and not seeing whales. I've definitely done that, and I've been like, so
what? It was whales guaranteed. They said if we didn't see any whales, and I got my receipt. I was like, if I don't see a whale, I'm coming back tomorrow.
That's funny. Like, whales guaranteed. Well, I went on one in San Diego, and the whales didn't show up, but aww, there were so many dolphins, and they were awesome. So I was okay.
Yeah, there were, we came at a good time because it's like the end of the summer season, but it's still whale time. So there were humpbacks and orca whales and some sea lions, and it was cool. I do kind of feel like low key I'm like in the beginning of the movie Get Out, because I think we were the only brown people on this. I think we are the only brown people on this island right now. It's very weird. I mean, it's not weird. I grew up in white neighborhoods and, you know, whatever, but definitely no people of color. I don't know. I guess they don't come here. Maybe Oprah is going to start the trend. I don't know. Where are you guys at? Come to San Juan Islands. They need us.
No, but it sounds good. I feel like I haven't seen any, you've been like really good, not too much social media, because I haven't seen any pictures posted.
I did finally post some whale videos. You know, I had to do the Free Willy soundtrack, that Michael Jackson song. Say you'll be there. I'll spare you. Anyway, that was the first movie I saw in theaters, Free Willy. Shout out to 6-year-old Mandy.
I can totally see you crying, too. Did you cry?
I was really afraid. They make that whale on the big screen. Those whales are huge. They're so big. And we got lucky because they like surrounded our boat. I guess we can't see what's happening, but they were like eating a seal or something. They got really excited. And they were just having the buffet lunch around our boat. And they were just like going in and out of the water, and their tails were up. And it was crazy because you can't plan it. So yeah, it's been really nice. But now I feel like, okay, we did a nice hike today and I'm relaxing. But I was telling, you know, me being off work right now, and we are right by a sea airport. So if you hear some, you know, engines in the background, that's probably a seaplane. No, but being away from work, it probably took me all of the last 2 weeks to prepare for being gone for a week. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, I'm really glad that I'm leaving now, because one, it's a terrible time to leave. Like, two, I feel like it's also a stress test. Can I leave and things are fine? And if the answer is no, that's bad. Like, it's not, like, it's not, I feel like I've in the past thought, okay, well, you know, if it's good for people to need me to be there, I need to be there to do this and do that. But it's not good if, you know, if I were to leave or Tiffany, you were to leave and Budget Nista would fall apart or, you know, my team falls apart. And I really had to, like, force myself to shove things off my plate and just fill everyone's plate around me. And I feel like this is the first time I've ever had to do that. And it was really freaking hard. It took me like 2 weeks to get ready. But I think the next time and the next time I want to take time off, it's going to get easier and easier. And then when I need to take maternity leave, you know, I'm going to need to be able to do this. So it's a good practice for me.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so crazy that we both kind of went away at the same time, but you're right. And it was a testament to, like, I couldn't have done this maybe like a year or so ago because I just was doing too much. You're right. Because sometimes you make yourself, like, I was the bottleneck. Like, everything had to flow through me. Everything. You know? And I thought that I was like, you know, I'm being a good boss or I'm being a good business owner. But I was holding things up because if I didn't check off on things, it just stopped at me. So I finally took myself out of a lot of, like, the movement of the company and allowed people to make decisions, you know, because I realized that, like, some of it was, like, I didn't trust people to make the right choices, so I was like, no, then we have to get the right people, and so now we've got amazing people, and things don't have to flow through me. I just trust that they'll make the right choices, and even if they don't, they know that I'm here for challenges. I'm here for mistakes, because that's the way that you learn, and it's okay, as long as you, my rule is, as long as you don't kill anybody, we good.
They know.
Yeah. Like, literally. I'm like, when someone says, oh my gosh, Tiffany, that new thing that I said I was going to try on Facebook or whatever, it didn't work, and I'm like, well, how many people died? And they're like, Tiffany. I'm like, well, girl, it's okay. It's okay. Yes, I'm excited to answer some questions. You guys are getting better and better at asking really dope questions. So bring them on. Mandra, where can I ask questions?
You can go to brandambitionpodcast.com and click Ask Us Anything at the top to drop us a question, or you can email us directly at brandambitionpodcast@gmail.com. While you're at it, follow us on Instagram at brandambitionpodcast or on Twitter at the BA Podcast.
Yes, tweet us. We haven't read your tweets and your IGs in a little bit, but we will. We're going to get back to that, so you don't want to miss out.
So we have some really good questions in the inbox today. I would love to start with listener LaShante. LaShante says, I recently started listening to the podcast, and in one, you both mention Ally Bank when talking about saving for a down payment on your homes. My husband and I are planning on saving $80,000 for a 20% down payment on a home. Currently, we have $14,000 saved in a regular savings account, which yields 4 to 5 cents worth of interest per month. Ooh, girl. So my question is, will Ally be beneficial for building more interest, and how has your experience with Ally been? Background, we plan to have the money by October 2019, and we're saving about $5,700 a month. Easy question. Get your money out of that bank right away. And it doesn't have to be Ally, but just an online savings account. There's a bunch out there. But Ally is one of them that has a really good yield. We both have used Ally and are happy with it, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, like, if she, let's just say, she's not going to need the money for 6 months. Do you think that maybe, like, even exploring a CD for, like, the money that she does have saved so it can earn even more interest?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, these online banks, the same ones that we would recommend you go to for, like, a checking account, typically have really good CD yields as well. And if you're really not planning on buying a house until October next year, you could easily put your money into a 12-month CD.
Yes.
And then when it matures next year, you will have earned more. The thing is, like, when you're saving, like, right now, she has $14,000. So what you could do is take that $14,000, and I'm assuming this is just your down payment money and that you have a little bit of savings on the side for, like, emergencies. But let's assume this 14 G's is just house money. You could just put that money into a CD, a high-yield CD that's 12 months, and that'll mature next, what is it now, October? Next early October. And then the money that you're saving month to month, open up a high-yield savings account with the same bank or a different bank, and just every month put the money in there. Because
no,
That's what I was thinking. Because I'm like, well, I think right now Ally, I feel like I saw that their CD rate was like 2.1% or 2%. And I think their savings account rate is like 1.87 or 1.85, something like that. So, yeah, I think that's the best course of action. If you're not touching your money for a while, lock it away in a CD. And I feel like I saw, because I logged in today, that they even have a no punishment CD. Where yeah. if you had to take your money out, that, you know, because normally you have to pay like a fee if you take your money out early. So, but yeah, I mean, I, you know, start with the Ally, but honestly too, like, that's why I love sites like Magnify Money, because you can, it's like the TripAdvisor of finance, you know,
where you can kind of compare. Well, thank you for the free promo.
Where you can kind of compare. I mean, I still use Magnify Money, where you can go and kind of compare to see, well, what other CDs are out there, what other bank accounts are out there. But yes, Mandy and I do definitely like Ally, but they're not the only ones out there.
Yeah, I think my little brother has the Marcus, or no, is Marcus? Yeah, Goldman Sachs has an account called Marcus. There's Charles Schwab has a high yield checking. Synchrony Bank has a high yield checking. You can even check your local credit unions, but for sure you need to get that money out of that little, I'm guessing that's like a 0.001% interest account. That's yikes. Yeah, get it out of there. You have a year, put it away in high yield savings, and you'll be, at least you'll make a little bit of money on the money that you're saving. Yeah.
Exactly.
Awesome. Thanks for your question.
Next question. Tell me how to da 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 da. One day I'll learn the words. Sorry, I'm never going to learn the words.
I mean, that was some of them. So that's good. A few words is better than none. All right. So this is, this is a question from a teacher. I think teachers have 403B savings, correct. Right? Okay.
Typically, yeah.
This comes from listener Ready to Roll Over. Love it. She says, I want to remain anonymous. I recently got a new job and they match up to 6% of my contributions to my 403B. I want to roll over about $30,000 from an old TIAA bank 403B to my new 403B at my new job. Both of these employers are universities. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay. So she is a teacher. Will they match the $30,000 I roll over, or will they only match what I contribute through the payroll deduction? That's part one of her question. I'll stop there. You wish.
Okay. How is that girl? You, Manny, you. You took the word.
Sorry.
We would all be working at your place. Like,
that would be a nice incentive.
I know. They will not match that. It's only what you save from working with them. So that's one. And two, Manny, I'm almost positive, like, you can't really roll over to another. You have to. Typically, you have to roll over to an outside source, not to, like, and I don't know if 403Bs are different, but not to an outside, not to the, to your current job's 401k or retirement plan. Meaning, like, I worked at Target, now I'm working at Walmart, but my Target money can't go to my Walmart retirement account. Instead, I have to open up an outside independent retirement account, and all of my, any company that I work with, outside of that, I can roll over to this outside independent account. I don't know if it's different with 403Bs or what company they use, if they'll take it, but I'm almost positive you typically can't go, you can't take like one company's money and give it to another company.
No, you can though, because I've done that. I've switched jobs. Okay. Yeah, I've switched from Business Insider to Yahoo. I did a rollover and we had a TD Ameritrade. I remember I had a TD Ameritrade 401k when I was at Business Insider. And then I switched to Yahoo and I rolled over my little money that I had saved, my little coins, over into the Vanguard account. I don't remember exactly. I definitely know I could. Whether or not I had to open up a separate IRA outside of my Yahoo money, I don't remember, but I do know most recently when Magnify Money was acquired, our new parent company, I was able to roll over the money I had saved in my Magnify Money 401k into the new parent company's 401k, which was a different, we went from company. Ubiquity, yeah, we went from Ubiquity to Principal retirement, and I was able to. So yeah, you're able to, definitely. You don't have to, you know, if you wanted to, like, that's the next part of her question is, we can talk about, do you have to roll over to your employer's 401k or 403b? She says, her next question is, should I automatically roll over my old 403b into the new 403b, or should I compare the performance first? I'm worried that my old 403B might outperform my employer's 403B. Mm. So that kind of gets to the question, do you have to roll over into your new employer's retirement account? You don't have to. You could do what Tiffany talked about, which is just open your own outside IRA and roll the money over into that account. And what you, the only reason you'd want to do that is maybe if, one, you're not getting a match, or two, if you just don't like the investment options that you have at your new employer's bank.
Sometimes people will tell you, because it depends. Like sometimes, if let's just say you hop from place to place too, it's you like keeping track of multiple accounts can be difficult. That's typically why people tell you to roll over, so that way you don't have to like, you know, let's just say 5 years from now you work for another university and now you have three retirement accounts. So combining them can just be for ease of use too, to make sure. But I mean, I guess the assumption, I'm not sure where she has her money, but let's just say like you put like a target date fund, like I'm going to retire at 65, and then your money is like allocated in such a way that it's going to balance itself that every year with the target date of having a certain amount of money in your retirement account by 65. So I don't know. I never thought about that, because I always just thought, you know what, I'm going to take my account with me. Because my worry is, like, even today, Superman said, if something were to happen to you, what would I do about your companies? So having them in one space to make it easy for, should something happen, to make it easy for myself to figure out where my money is, and make it easy for my the people that are my beneficiaries to figure out where the money is. So, I mean, but it's up to you, though. You don't have to roll it over. But, you, like, I also don't think it's necessarily a good idea to have a ton of accounts floating out there.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to write them down and remember them. I've been rolling mine over. But I would say, certainly, you can do whatever you want with your old account. I mean, you have the money there. They're not going to match it if you roll it over. So you could roll it into a, you know, an outside retirement fund at a different bank if you want it, with better investment options. And that maybe, you know, if you think you're going to hop around at future, you know, from job to job in the future, you might just want to have it in one place. But definitely everything that you're investing moving forward, go ahead and put it in your employer's account, because 6% matching is pretty dope.
What? It is pretty dope. That's a really good matching program.
Yeah. Take advantage for sure.
Question. How are we gonna, I don't know. Just next question.
I mean, you keep trying. I don't know if you've like done research, but it's not going to get better until you look up the lyrics.
You know, next time I'm going to listen to the YouTube. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to at least, get the, there's this thing called Rap Genius, I think it's called, or whatever, where you can get the lyrics. And so I am going to, I'm gonna have some lyrics, at least the first line.
Yeah. Okay. Next time. All right. Another anonymous question. So this comes from listener, anonymous. Let's call her Debt Diva. She says, I'm a recent college graduate. I have been so reckless with my credit cards in college. I think I got too excited when I turned 18 and wrongly believed in unlimited money. I now owe a lot of money in credit card debt and student loans, about $17,000 in consumer debt and $25,000 in student loans. I freeze my credit account and I'm working to pay off my debt. I have a job, but I only make $35,000 per year, and I feel like most of my money is going to bills. I am just exhausted from paying all this amount, and I honestly have learned my lesson. I've thought about filing for bankruptcy, but I believe that this much debt is not worth filing bankruptcy over. Please, please help me. Do you have any tips on how I can pay off this debt? Ooh, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of consumer. That's like credit card debt, $17,000. So student loan debt, $25,000. I'm not like afraid, right? That's normal-ish. Yes. That's doable. You know, you're young. You have years to pay it off. You will. But 17 G's in credit card debt, and if that's interest accruing every month, I mean, that's not a good look.
I'm not going to lie. I was $1,35,000 in credit card debt. So I'm like, that's not so bad.
Well, look at her now. So
so I'll tell you what I did to get rid of the $35,000 in credit card debt. Well, one, I had to put the cards down because I was still digging. So I was still swiping. I was in a ditch. And I was still digging. So my shovel was my credit card. So I literally remember looking in the mirror and doing the Jersey clap, like, Tiffany. You know, that's like the pissed off Jersey girl clap. And I was like, honestly, what are we doing? Put the card down. And so I put it down. I either cut it up or hid it for myself. And I said, okay. So at least now moving forward, we're not adding on to the debt that you have. So that was one. And then two, I looked and like, I can't remember. I feel like my credit score wasn't terrible at that time. So what I did do is I at least with, I don't know how much it was, maybe like $5,000 or $6,000 of the debt, I was able to roll over to a balance transfer card. I actually went to Magnify Money, found a card, a balance transfer card, and transferred over as much as they would allow. Like, I think it was like $5,000 or $6,000. So I transferred that over and I started the snowball method of paying down the debt systematically, because it helped and I automated it. And so every month I would look at it, but I was just automating. So if you don't know, just Google the snowball method, but a balance transfer, paying down the debt automatically. And you know what really helped, Mandy, that like kind of helped to turbo boost it? I did this thing called unexpected money. And I call it like UM. So what unexpected money is, any money that I got that wasn't from like my normal pay. So that like, so my sister Lisa pays me back $20 she owes me. And who knew? Because Lisa don't pay back. Mm-hmm. You know, or like grandma gives you, you know, $50 for your birthday or Christmas or whatever. So money that's outside of your normal income, or even better, let's just say you're at Target and you're buying a dress and it's $25 and they were like, oh, it's, you know, 50% off. So it's, you know, $12, $12.50 or whatever. So that extra $12.50 that you were going to spend anyway, or your friend treats you to brunch and you were expecting to pay $30, that $30 that you were going to spend, from my phone, I used to transfer that money, that unexpected money, directly to whatever debt I was working on. Because with the snowball method, you really focus on one card at a time. Mm-hmm. So I could like transfer, like in a month, I might transfer an extra $150, $200 from my sister Lisa, grandma. The Target dress was on sale. My friend treated me to lunch, even though I was going to pay. And that really helped to pay down that debt so much faster. So I think that's what I did. And it took me about 2.5 years to pay down the $35,000 worth of debt. But when it was gone, you know, I could have wept tears of joy. And it wasn't easy, but it was so worth it. Now, since then, I have not had, because before then, I never had credit card debt go from month to month. And now I stopped. That was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I guess. And so I don't, like, I pay off my credit card debt every single month in full since then. And so it's possible, despite owing a lot. It's just about creating a system. If you can automate it, that's even better. And sticking to it. And, you know, and like I said, doing that little cheat sheet of your unexpected money, that helps too.
For sure.
So good luck to you, Anonymous.
Thank you for your question. Oh, we called her Debt Diva.
Debt Diva.
Ooh, we got another question. I love a good, awkward family situation finance question. So let's say this person's name is Furniture Frida.
Okay.
Furniture Frida says, I recently purchased a house, and for my birthday, my mother wanted to give me either a dining set or a living room set for the house. I was avoiding her doing this, but she insisted. So we went to the store, picked up what we wanted, and then when we got to the register, they of course asked if we had a store card, which we didn't. They mentioned getting 10% off if we applied. My mom doesn't have the best credit, so she insisted that I apply to get the 10% off. And I applied to get the 10% off, and she would pay for the card. I was really taken aback with this because I thought she had the cash to buy the stuff. But against my better judgment, I got the card. We all know where this is going. She gave me $300 the next day, but still has $1,400 to pay.
Oh my God.
We got into a fight a few days after this, and I decided not to have her pay the rest. She told me not to tell my husband about the store card, so I never did. Now I have to tell my husband about the store card because I can't sneak away and pay $1,400 without him knowing. So I guess the question is, what do you think? The interest rate on the card is like 24.99%. So basically, if we don't pay it off, we will end up paying more in interest than the 10% is worth. Yeah, I hope this happened like yesterday, because if I don't know when they got this email, but oh God. Okay. She says, but we also have a very tight budget and have a Lowe's card to pay off by the end of November. So she's got $1,400 on a 25% APR card. She has gotten a fight with her mother. And she let her ego get in the way a little bit and said, I don't want your money.
Those of you listening, this is why I say store cards are the devil.
The devil.
The devil! I mean, because 24%, that means think about every dollar that you give them, they take a quarter out and say, for me, that's crazy. Like, that's a loan shark rate, you know? And so, yeah, if it's soon, I will return that daggone furniture. Or you put your mother back on that payment plan. I mean, you're going to have to tell your husband anyway, because that's a lot of money regardless. And
but the thing is, like, if her mother didn't have the money that day to pay off the card, she never should have applied for it. Because you're always going to walk away spending more than you would have saved with a 10%. Like, the first month that you let the balance stay on the card, like, that should never have happened. That's what people don't compute. They think, oh, I'm going to save something. But unless you have the cash right away, then that's not a deal. That's like a death sentence.
Yes. And know this for people listening, that it's not a gift if there's payments have to be there. Like, when someone says, oh, like I remember one year my dad got my mom a car. But he went to the auction and he saved it. He bought it cash. Now, if he would have gotten her a car and then there's payments, it's like, that's not really a gift. But, you know, we're not here to make you feel bad, Furniture Frida, because we have all made mistakes. Lord knows I still make mistakes. I feel like Furniture Frida, this is just a good lesson, like, moving forward, that having a rule, because there's nothing worse than kind of, like, not telling your boo something. And you're like, oh, it doesn't matter. And then it becomes everything. You're like, oh, damn.
Yeah,
we've all been there, right? So there should be like a basic rule where it's maybe like anything over $100, both of you have to discuss it, and so that way there's no surprises like this. But it's up to you to decide what that rule is. But that way too, when something like this happens, you have a rule of thumb to be like, "Hey, Ma, you know, I think this is great, but I gotta call, you know, the husband, because, you know, he and I have this rule that we both honor, that anything over this amount of money, we don't make financial choices. I mean, like, barring, like, clothes for the kids or, like, groceries or something like that, but we don't make, like, outside kind of, like, financial choices over this amount of money without letting each other know. Because sometimes just that pause would made you say, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Although I appreciate the gift, Ma, let's look for something else.
I love that $100 rule. I wish that I could say that we have a rule like that we follow. We definitely have all of our accounts linked, though, and we see when charges are on the card, and we have conversations about it after the fact. But I think at least having transparency is key, because then it's not possible for one of us to do something behind the other person's back. Not that we would, but it just helps us both, you know, feel more comfortable that way.
I know couples that actually have get notifications to their phone if you spend over a certain amount.
I definitely do that for myself. I don't do it for his card because I feel like that's a little big brotherish, but for my own personal card, I do that. And we have all of our linked accounts. Anytime we can go into our little dashboard and see, I mean, right now with the house though, it's just all crazy. It's all insane. I don't know. Like, you know, we just got our estimate for our countertops today and nothing is normal anymore. $100. I wish. I wish.
Oh my God. I'm in the throat. We haven't even really started to get busy with it, but like, we just started the basic demo and I'm definitely like, oh my gosh, I know it's going to be like, wait, what? But you said, wait, what pipe? So I'm like, oh.
Do you know our teeny tiny house? I was like, do you know how much the countertops estimate was that we got for like the normal price? It's like $5,000. Like, for whose kitchen? This is a teeny tiny kitchen. I can't believe it. Anyway,
what kind of
material? Quartz, because I thought that was, you know, the good low cost alternative to marble or whatever. Man, I'm getting my vacation vibes out of whack now thinking about these quartz countertops. But yeah, $5,500. I'm back on the water. I'm with the whales. It's fine. Yeah.
All right. On that note,
thank you guys for your questions. Great.
Yes, thank you for joining us post-vacay. Well, Mandy's still away, but yes, we will see you next week. More questions. So we really enjoy y'all. Thank you for supporting Brown Ambition, and tell everybody to support it.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.